You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles today, the book of Ephesians. I'm so delighted you're here, every one of you visitors, members. Thank you. Pray for Brother Martinez's class. Pray for the Spanish over there. We have two groups that are out traveling today, singing and preaching, and I want you to pray for them as they're in different states and different cities, that is, and to pray that God will bring us all back safely tonight by His grace, evening service tonight. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word today. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. I'll read verse 22, you read verse number 23. I'll read verse 24, you read verse 25. You'll read the odd verses, I'll read the even verses today, 22 through 33. Ephesians 5, 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife,
even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Therefore the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Today, as we're here at Phoenix, Arizona, 7 minutes ago began the funeral service for Charlie Kirk. Charlie was a great American. Let me try that one more time. He was a great American.
Amen.
He loved God. He loved this country. He was assassinated 2 weeks ago this Wednesday in Utah. It's a very sad moment in America's history. I remember when John F. Kennedy was shot. I was in junior high school folding papers that afternoon. Still have the paper that I folded and delivered them house to house. It was a very sad day for our country. This is a sad day as also. Charlie, one of the things he was in favor of was the family. He went across America and said, "I want all of you young children, young people in college, to get married and bear children and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And in his honor today, I want to speak on the family, the home. I don't care if you're a widow. You ought to be putting daily deposits in your families, your children, your grandchildren, the neighbor's kids, every day, every day. Kind of quiet in here today, but every day, every widow, every widower, everybody ought to be investing in the family. All you that are single in this auditorium, and for some reason you've not yet found the right mate, that's okay. You ought to invest in the family, your nieces, your nephews, your brothers, your sisters. Every day, every single day of your life, every husband, I'm going to call upon you today to make some changes in your life. That your family is going to be priority in your life. This is a busy, busy church, but we give you every Monday night off, every Tuesday night off, every Thursday night off, every Friday night off, every Saturday night off. We go to church on Wednesday night for an hour and 10 minutes. That's it. Children's program. I want you to know that every man ought to involve himself with his family like never before.
Amen.
One of the great investment firms in America said, as they gathered together 1,000 of their employees, they said, the greatest thing you can do for your family and for America is to put your cell phone down and go take a walk every night with your wife. Don't answer your cell phone. Put it down. Brother Panera was preaching months ago, and he said to me, and I applied that in my life, he said, I don't pick my phone up till 7 a.m. every day. Every day at 7 a.m. I pick my phone up. Say, but what if people called you through the night in emergency? They'll get a hold of us. They'll knock on a door or something. I don't pick it up till 7 a.m. I want to be time with God and my God and His Word and prayer and praying for God's people. Father, I thank you for today. And I pray that we'd be alert regarding our homes, regarding the home that is just us, no one else. We tuck ourselves to bed at night alone, widows and widowers and single adults and husbands that have left and wives that have left. And yet, God, the home is so very important. I pray that you would speak to our hearts now through the Word of God about our home and our position and investing in the home. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Gibbon wrote in 1787. He wrote the book, The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire. As he wrote about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, I'll skip over number one, I'll come back. But number two, he said the rise in taxes. Four reasons why Rome fell. A rise in taxes. Do you know that you have to work till the middle of July just to pay your taxes every year? It's out of control. We're throwing money away. Abraham Lincoln said, the way you'll ruin this country is to tax this country to death. That was in 1862 or 63, he said that. Rising taxes collapsed Rome. Secondly, Gibbon said this, the craze for pleasure. Our sports arenas, our coliseums were filled, and we just were pleasure related. Everything in our life was all about pleasure. I've got to have fun. I've got to go to the mountains. I've got to go to the beach. I've got to go to the lake. I've got to go to the snow. I've got to go to the ski. I've got to go to this. I've got to go to the arena. I've got to go watch the 49ers play today. I've got to go to the mall. I've got to go shopping. It became pleasure crazed. That's why Rome fell. One, high taxes. Two, they fell because of pleasure. Number three, which was really number four, because I skipped over one. Number four was decay of religion. We're finding religion is just decayed. We are living in an area of 9 million people here in Silicon Valley and San Francisco. 9 million people. To my knowledge, you can get a lot of one and done churches. To my knowledge, there's not another church open from here to San Francisco Airport tonight. In Sunnyvale, if you want to get saved, you cannot get saved. There's no church open. We build millions of dollars worth of buildings, but there's no church. In Mountain View, there's no church open tonight. In East Palo Alto, there's no church open tonight. In Palo Alto, there's no church open tonight. In San Mateo, there's no church open tonight. In Redwood City, there's no church open tonight. In Millbrae, there's no church open tonight. In Burlingame, there's no church open tonight. In South San Francisco, there's no, hey, no wonder why America is going fast to hell. When we do our one and done thing, you can get it done on Saturday night now if you want. Then you won't have to bother Sunday. But God's word says, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some is, but so much more. You can't find in any of those cities, I don't believe in any of those cities you can find a Sunday school class. We've done away with Sunday school. We've done away with Wednesday night prayer meeting. We've done away with Sunday night preaching. Thank God this place will be a lot more than tonight. Today, this place will be packed tonight. There's a hunger for the Word of God. I want you to know that these three areas were a reason for the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. But number four, which was number one, the collapse of the home. Gibbon said the home collapsed. People were divorcing. People were doing their own thing. Men did their own thing. Women did their own thing. And consequently, when the home collapses, you always announce the doom to society. Charlie Kirk had it right when he said, I want young people to marry, bear children, and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. How important it is that we get back to the basic unit, the family. Sir, you need to hit this altar today and say to your wife, I have been a terrible husband. I'm all about my business. I'm all about myself. I don't talk to you. I don't share with you our finances. I don't share with you what I'm doing with my life. I'm not talking to you about prayer. I need to get right with God today. Some of you wives, you're so stubborn. And you wives need to come and say, husband, I'm a stubborn woman. I need to get right with God. Some of you kids need to turn to your dad and mom and say, please forgive me. I'm wrong. I want you to see today what the Bible says in verse number 23. The Bible says in verse 23, the husband, that's a Latin word, husband, house band. The husband bands the house together. The husband, the Bible says, is the head of the wife. Who's the head of the wife? Husband, that's the Bible. That's not modern day history. That's not ABC, NBC, CBS. They won't like that. But the Bible says husbands is the head of the wife. Amen. The word head means the one that sets the direction. Just like Christ did, the Bible says, even as Christ is the head of the church. Either Christ is the head of the church or it's not. And when Christ is the head of the church will go forward. But when we dethrone Christ and Christ is not the head, when we dethrone our husband, husbands, you're to lead your wife. That is your job. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. To be the head means you set the direction. Spiritually, we're going to church. We're going to the house of God. God's doors are open. I'm going to be in church tonight. I may be in church Wednesday night. We are going to church. We're going to be reading our Bible every night. We're going to have family Bible time. It may be 5 minutes. It may be 10. It may be 15. But every night, our kids are going to bed with prayer.
Amen.
Dad, you're the head of it. You're to lead, and then you're to love. Three times you saw in this text, we're to love. The Bible says in verse number 25, husbands, what's the second word? Love your wife. Love your wife. You know, a wife who's not loved is a wife who's lonely in life. Just lonely. A woman has a desire to be loved, an agape love, like a Christ-like love. I love that woman. 53 years ago, December, my wife became my wife. And I about lost her this year with cancer. You remember those days, and I'm so indebted for your prayers. The country prayed for my wife. The world prayed for my wife. We had thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners on our radio stations and on the internet, and every country in the world was praying for Mrs. Traber. And he literally spared her life. When he spared her life, he's given me, I don't know, another month, another year, another 10 years. I don't know what I have with her, but I'm going to love that woman.
Amen.
What she wants is what I want. I don't have my agenda. Oh, I'm going to lead her, but I'm going to lead her the way that I know she wants to be led. I want to lead her. She wants the righteousness. She wants holiness. She wants singing. She wants our church. She wants those things. I want what she wants, and I love that woman. Sir, can't you look at your wife and tell her every day, I love you? I'm on airplanes all the time. I fly all over America and all over the world. I fly, fly, fly. I hate flying. I hate flying. But I'm in the airport. I hear businessmen, unsaved businessmen, talking to their wives or their children. And the last thing unsaved people say, I love you, honey. Almost without fail, I'll hear them talk to their children. I love you, son. Many times I'll say, forgive me for listening, but I just heard you say, I love you. Thank you for loving your kids. Thank you for loving your wife. Sir, do you love your wife? Will your wife even have any tears when you pass away? Think of my cousin Gracie that's here, Dave, your husband. He was a good husband. And when God took him 6 years ago, she wasn't applauding, finally free. Finally, I'm free of that old wretch. Finally, he's gone. I've got my freedom now. She didn't live that way. I talked to her on the phone this week, and you could just tell he lives still in her heart 6 years later. She loved her husband. Some of you husbands, you're going to die first, and your wife's going to put up the front, but she's going to be so glad you're gone. You're a bear to live with. Husbands love, husbands lead. Look what the Bible says then to the women. Verse number 22, wives submit. I know we don't like that word, but it's still in the Bible. Wives submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Submit is a military term. It means to lay down your arms and quit fighting. Why, dear lady, is everything a fight in your home? I mean, Ralph gets behind the wheel of the car, and you drive over to El Camino, he didn't choose the right route. Or he's going too fast. Or he's going too slow. Or why don't we go this way? Why, you know, man, that gets very old real fast, fellas. You're to submit. You're to lay down your arms and quit fighting. Why do you fight them on everything? Why is everything an issue? Dear ladies, We've got a church full of so many virtuous women. You want to raise your children up and be virtuous women, bring them to church. Look at these ladies here. Look at our ladies. Look at how you love God. And I would say the vast majority of you in this room love your husbands. You love God. You're trying to do what's right. God bless you. And it must be hard. It must be difficult submitting to Ralph. It must be difficult because he doesn't know what Ralph is doing. Amen? But it's still Bible. You're to rank under. God's word makes it very clear what a woman's supposed to do. She's supposed to lay down her arms and quit fighting. She is to yield herself to her husband. I offer myself to you. That's what a true marriage is about. Marriage is not winning arguments. Marriage is not about winning this or winning that. Marriage is getting along with one another. Marriage is letting never the sun go down on your wrath. As far as I know, my wife and I have always, every night, the last thing we do is we pray that I have not let the sun go down on my wrath. If I'm upset with her over something, and I'd spend years, but if I was upset, I'd want to get it right. I want to deal with it. I want to get it right with God. Husbands love. Husbands lead. Wives submit. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey. There are three words. Husbands love. Husbands lead. Wives submit, children obey. Amen. How many are, I know we just have teens and adults in here today, but how many teens and how many young people we have in this room? Would just raise your hand, you're still living at home. There's a handful of you. God bless you, many of you, actually. I had a mom and dad as well. I don't know what God did in my heart, but I loved that mom and dad. I just loved them. I loved my dad. My dad was not highly educated. My dad was 90% deaf. My dad was a good man. My dad went to work every day of his life. He had different jobs along the way, but he was a good man. My dad read us the Bible every single night of his life. My dad let us leave off to go to college and get married and develop our own home. I pastored my dad. He sat right back there 33 years in the old building on the other property, sat over there, right toward the front. You know, when I looked at my dad and his casket, I looked at my mother and her casket, my heart was just so shattered and so broken. My dad was a deacon in this church. I have 44 deacons, I think. And my dad was a deacon, but he never talked. He just listened. My dad never gave me advice. If I went to my dad for advice, he'd always turn it around with the question, "What do you think you should do, son?" He always did that. I looked at my dad in that casket. I looked at my mom in that casket. And I could say for both of them, I never, ever did anything to hurt them. I wasn't a perfect son. I got spankings. I didn't deserve them. My sister's dead. My dad would spank me. And he'd always use the same terminology that your dad used on you. This is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. My dad lied to me. Oh, then I became a father. My wife was a much better disciplinarian than I was. Mary, I was terrible. I've talked about this. Tim, I can remember spanking Tim. He's a preacher now. But Tim, he'd do wrong. I'd give him one whack on the backside, and the second one I'd a little bit lighter, and the third one I'd just sort of push it in and push it out, you know. One time his mother said, "You're going to have to deal with your son about this." And I think she knew that she was wrong, that it was not that big a deal. And I knew it was wrong. And I negotiated this thing. I shut the door, Tim's room. I said, "Okay, now, Tim, I'm going to slap myself real hard, real hard. I'm going to just slap myself. And when I do that, go, oh! And then I'm going to do it again. Oh! And the third time." And the third time, she opened the door and said, "I know what you guys are up to." You know, our three kids, Tiffany never gave us any trouble. Tim never gave us any trouble. We failed with the last one. Tabitha, who's here, never gave us a moment's trouble. They loved us. They just love us. I came to the point where one day when my wife had to go to the hospital, I called 911 and had the medics come, and gossiping Mrs. Kellogg there immediately called Tabitha, said, "There's an ambulance out front. What's going on? Thank you, Leslie. You're a good neighbor." Tabitha Chris is right there. "What's going on?" You know, our kids loved us. I don't think they dot the I and cross the T like I would all the time, but that's up to them. They answer to God, not me. But we loved our kids. We love all of our grandkids. God's blessed our home, but we've worked at it. Douglas MacArthur, I'll close. Douglas MacArthur was a great general. Douglas MacArthur was Secretary of the War Department. And one of his assistants from the White House called him on a Saturday night. Mrs. MacArthur answered the phone, but she thought she was talking to someone else. She didn't realize she was talking to a man that was his equal. And he said, "I'm calling for Doug. I need to talk to Douglas. I need to talk to him. Is he home?" And she said, "No, he's not home." "Well, where is he?" "He's at the office where he is every Saturday night." She was not happy. The man went and told the president that conversation. The president called Douglas MacArthur. They said, "Get home immediately. Your wife is in desperate need of her husband." The president talked to him afterwards and said, "Don't ever work Saturday night. Your wife needs you. Douglas MacArthur had heeded that advice. I'm asking you on this Sunday morning, when we're laying to rest a great American hero today, I'm asking you to put yourself back in the family.
Amen.
Husbands, step it up. Love and lead. It's so easy. Just love your wife and lead. Wives, just submit. Just yield. And children, obey. Obey your dad in everything he says. You'll be out of his home soon. You're almost 18. You'll be on your own. You can make decisions on your own. But while you're in his home, I don't like what my dad says, so I'm going to leave. You can't do that. Love your family. I'm challenging everyone in this room today to step it up. All you bus kids up there, I don't know what kind of homes you have, but you can have a good home. You can be a good child. Our Father, I thank you so much for our church. I love the home. I love the home. I thank you for the home you've given my wife and I. We had such a blessed time raising our children for thee. I'm grateful they're all serving thee full time as pastors. I'm thankful that they're all in church this morning. All of our grandkids in church, our married granddaughters in church today with their husband. Thank you for that testimony. God, may our family live for thee a lifetime. I pray that we'd put ourselves back into our homes. Our heads are bowed. You're a husband, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a father. You're a son, you're a daughter. But you say, Pastor, today I am going to involve myself with my home. I'm going to put regardless if my wife does or not, I'm going to put myself in a position where I obey the Bible. Would you raise your hand all over this house? I'm going to put myself in my home. You may put them down. God bless you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.